Hi, everyone. My name is Dan Yanov, co-founder and CEO of Rhinofy. And yeah, today I'm going to talk to you about account abstraction and some of the challenges and opportunities that brings. We only have 5 minutes, so let's get right into it. We would have heard a lot about account abstraction at this conference, so I'm not going to repeat a lot of that, but just to recap kind of what we're trying to achieve as a basis for this talk. Where we're aiming to get to with chain abstraction is that users are oblivious to what chain they're transacting on. That's completely removed from the UX. They don't care, as Vitalik called yesterday, the credit card experience. And the second assumption we're making is that users get the best execution of what they want to do. If I want to buy ETH with USDT, I can assume that I'm going to get the best price for that. But what do we have today? Today we have dApps which are deployed on multiple chains, often in a messy way. For example, Aave is on 13 different blockchains that you need to kind of choose from the UI, connect different wallets, and so on. L2s and chains have direct-to-consumer power. So there are these kind of strong brands, like let's say Base, Scroll, Arbitrum, and they attract consumers directly in different ways. And the ecosystems can be quite separate, either ideologically or in UX. So for example, a Solana user might find using an Ethereum L2 very strange, and vice versa. But as we have heard a lot about this week, there are a lot of technologies coming which are going to change this and bring us closer to that dream state. Now, I think that's going to have some consequences. And the way we can think about it is, pre-internet and pre-Amazon, you could have had an electronics store in a town, and all the towns would be separate, and your store has a captive audience, the people in this town, right? So you could afford to run a crappy store. Like, your store could be a bit expensive, it could not be very good, and people would still come to it because they don't really have choice. Now, when Amazon comes along and people now have access to the same amazing marketplace, running a crappy store becomes quite difficult, right? Like, you can't attract users anymore. You're competing with kind of the best from all around, not just in your town. And I think something similar is going to happen with the different L2 ecosystems, that once users have access to the best protocols and so on kind of equal footing, the ones which are not the best are really going to suffer. That's going to cause a few effects. The first one is the kind of winner-take-all liquidity. What I mean by that is that we have a virtuous cycle that reinforces and makes the best products the best and the worst products even worse. Let's say, again, in our example, we want to buy ETH with USDT. Our order gets routed to the most liquid pool, and that happens with kind of all the orders. Now, that generates more fees for the LPs in that pool. More LPs go into that pool, it becomes even more liquid, and so the wheel goes, and that attracts everything. And so, you know, the top, like let's say, a few pools for this pair maybe get use. The bottom ones will get no flow whatsoever. So that brings to the next point, that like duplication is pointless. Having the same pool and the same protocol or a fork of it deployed on 20 chains or multiple times on the same chain makes no sense, and it will make even less sense in this world. Now, that sounds a bit threatening. A lot of our ecosystems are duplications and forks right now. However, there is also an upside to that, which is the opposite. This uniqueness is rewarded. If you build a dApp or a protocol that adds value to the ecosystem, it will now be exposed to the whole ecosystem, not just this chain, but all the ones which are connected to it. So if you build something of value, it will be exposed to a much bigger audience, regardless of what else happens on this particular chain. You no longer need to have kind of primitives on each chain. Which brings to my next point, that in this situation, if we think about that a unique use case is what brings value to the chain, the kind of value of this chain and the value of this protocol converge. So we could see the kind of app chain thesis coming back, that you only need one good use case on a chain to make it successful. So we could see each use case having having its own chain. For example, you know, if we here created a layer two, and the only thing on it was we integrated Thai baht payments, now that could be integrated into the rest of the L2s, and so they could access that, and we could have nothing else on this chain. So the use case in the chain converge. So we're just wrapping up now. So I guess the whole point of what I'm trying to say is many of you may be founders, builders, maybe investors. Don't waste your precious time and energy building forks of things. If you have that voice going in your head like, oh, let's do another Uniswap fork with a token on this new chain and we'll make loads of money, shut that down. Shut it down and do something that matters, because you'll be rewarded more than ever, because this this mechanic makes sure that like unique things that add value get exposed to the whole ecosystem immediately. So you'll be rewarded more than ever for it. Yeah, thank you. And I think now we're going to take some questions.
Yes, thanks a lot, Daniel. All right, so we're going to do the questions with the catch box. If you're familiar with it, I'm just going to throw it to you. You're going to speak into the box, and that's how we're going to do it. So raise your hand if you have any questions, and we'll get the box to you. Come on. Yes, amazing. So get ready and catch.
So you talk about unique dApps on chains. Have you got any examples where this is already kind of bearing fruit?
Yeah, so I think we can see examples of some chains that have managed to like build a moat because of difficult to copy mechanics. For example, Tron, which we're a DEF CON, it's not an EVM chain, but Tron has a very big network of payment service providers, which has made it very useful in a lot of emerging economies. And now, although Tron is expensive and kind of out of fashion and not as modern, and like other chains are poised to kind of steal their users, that that network of PSPs is difficult to replicate, so they have a moat and that has use. And I think we're going to see something similar happen with Coinbase, Base, and Ink from Kraken being very efficient on ramping Rails, because they have the kind of relationships with the banks and payments providers that other chains might not have, and that's something that will be difficult to replicate and compete with.
All right, I saw another question over here. Can you get the box to this person? Perfect.
My question is that I think liquidity definitely is the key here. What are some of the best practices or strategies that worked to basically tracking liquidity to the chain or app?
Yeah, so in terms of, how do we attract liquidity? How do we fight this mechanic? So the first one, which, you know, it doesn't sound serious, but it kind of is like bribing the solvers and the intent networks. I think we will see chains or protocols essentially sort of paying for order flow, which is something that exists in traditional markets. I guess the other one, which hopefully is more positive, is building kind of more and more efficient protocols so that they can have better outcome for users, maybe with less liquidity or generating more rewards for the LPs.
Perfect, and that's all the time we have for questions. Give it up again for Daniel Yanev.
Thank you.